your Bibles and open up to John chapter 3. We'll be there for our time tonight. The reason I want to take some time tonight and go through John chapter 3, we're going to look at a conversation of Jesus. So many times we wonder what it would be like if you could actually have a conversation with Jesus. And to see this relationship, to see the conversation that happens between Nicodemus and Jesus. And the reason I really want to go through this is so often you'll see billboards, you'll see what people say. They'll say, I believe John 3:16. And I say, I do too. But I also believe the words that come before it and after it. And so often that's what gets neglected out of this passage. Nicodemus is a man who, this is the first time he shows up in the book of John. You'll see him again for a little excerpt in John chapter 7, and then you see him again whenever Jesus is being buried. But I want you to notice the conversation. And if you ever have a conversation with those who have not really come to Jesus, but they see John 3:16 is everything, I want you to remember as we go through tonight, and notice what Jesus talks to Nicodemus about. And you'll see exactly why Jesus says it this way. John chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So Nicodemus is a man who carries some kind of authority. Also being a Pharisee, if you remember the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. You won't be there. And so to realize Nicodemus shows up, and here's a man who doesn't have everything on straight. He's got some authority, and he comes to Jesus. Then look at verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I don't know who the we is. I'm not sure if he's talking about him and some of the other Pharisees or him and his family. It doesn't give you any more details about it. But he says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. And Nicodemus shows up to say, I'm here to be taught. It's kind of a humility with him to come as a ruler and say, I need you to teach me. And he calls him Rabbi. I want to be like you. He says, and no one could do these signs unless he's from God. So we know that you've come from God. We know that you've come as a teacher. Then, here's Jesus' response, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly. You want another way to say it? Frankly. Let me put it this way. He says, frankly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you haven't been born again, you can't see what's really going on in God's kingdom. You don't have the sight for it. In the same way that if you're somebody who wears glasses, there are times where if you take them off, you couldn't see anything. He says, if you haven't been born again, you can't see it. Nicodemus has trouble with this. Look at the next verse, verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, he's thinking in terms of physical things. How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Now, because we can see, we look at that and we say, well, doesn't that just sound foolish? Nicodemus doesn't understand. He says, be born again. I don't understand what you mean. The only born I know is to be born of my mother. He says, I don't get it. Whether he realizes or not, he's proving Jesus' point. He can't see it. He doesn't understand it. And so when he comes to here to say, how is this even possible? How can a man be born again? When you talk to folks who are just religious in general, and you start talking about being baptized, they'll say things like, I don't see it. I don't understand why you have to do that. What are they saying? They can't see it. And that's exactly what Jesus said. But notice how it continues. Nicodemus has his two questions. How can a man be born again when he is old? He can't enter a second time to his mother's womb, can he? I mean, He realizes he's making a little of an absurd statement, like, how is this even possible? Can he? Verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Not might not, not could not. He says, he cannot. Let's think of it this way. Think of it in terms of physical birth. You can't really live until you're born. This is not some platform question. I'm just saying, when does true life begin? Where you can see. There's no seeing in the womb. From the baby's perspective, he doesn't or she doesn't see anything. It's only after they're born that they begin to see. So even now, taking it into a spiritual sense, can you really see the things of God clearly before being born? So when he makes the statement, Jesus does, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't enter without birth. Born of the water, talking about baptism, and of the Spirit. Sounds very similar to what Peter says on Pentecost. He says, that you would be forgiven and that you would be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice how he continues. Verse 6. Jesus says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." To be born into this fleshly body, we're going to be fleshly people. If we're going to be spiritual people, we're going to have to be born of the water and the Spirit. If we want to enter the kingdom, we're going to have to be born of the water and the Spirit. There's not a sense of, I come in a different way. We'll get down to that here in a moment. He says, that which is born of the flesh is going to be flesh. It's going to be self-centered. It's going to be fleshly. That which is of the Spirit is going to be spiritual. Verse 7. He's reading Nicodemus's mind. "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." That's where Nicodemus is getting caught up. If you remember, his question was about, how can a man be born again? He says, don't be amazed at this. That's not the part that should grab your attention and hold it. Then, the next statement that Jesus makes, verse 8. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." See it again. Remember, Nicodemus has come to Jesus to be taught. He says, "You don't understand me, do you?" Even in talking to him about being born again, being born of the water and the born of the Spirit and the water, he says, "You still don't understand me, do you?" He says, "The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it." He says, you can hear the sound of the wind. We think in terms of you can go outside whenever it's really blowing, you say, well, you can see what the wind's doing. Can you tell what direction it comes from? Can you tell where it originates? Can you tell where it's going? You maybe can look at your point of view and say, I can see it from here to there. But here's the thing. What if you can't see? You can hear the sound of it, but if you can't see it, you can't tell what direction it's coming or what direction it's going. Think about when you lay on your bed at night and the wind's really whistling and howling. You can hear it. You have any idea about where it's coming from or going? You sure don't. Unless you can see it. Here's the parallel. As being Spirit-led people, to do things God's ways, in His means, by His instruction and direction, there are plenty of times where we make no sense to the fleshly world. To be a forgiving person, they look at that and they say, I wouldn't do that. I don't even understand why you would do that. What are they saying? What you do makes no sense to me. I can't tell where you're coming from and I can't tell where you're going. When you come up and someone has been yelling at you or screaming at you, and you still go out of your way to do them good, What do fleshly people tell you? You make no sense. I don't know why you would do that. What are they saying? They can't see the kingdom. They can't see where the direction the Spirit's going. So whenever you come to this statement, here's Jesus. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. He says, Nicodemus, you look at people, if they have God's Spirit, you wouldn't understand them anyway. Verse 9. Once again, Nicodemus shows he can't see a thing. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can these things be? He says, that doesn't make any sense to me. How can that be? Once again, Nicodemus is proving exactly what Jesus has told him. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. And Nicodemus sure can't see it right now. Then, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Jesus makes a statement to show it to Nicodemus. Now, you're a teacher, right? He says, you're a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand this? By the way, Nicodemus is a man of prominence. He is a ruler. He is a teacher. And now Jesus is saying, you don't understand the very basics of entering into the kingdom? He asks him this question. Are you really a teacher and you don't understand this? It'd be the same thing as if you walked into a math class and you tried to explain to them very simple things and they say, I don't understand what you're even saying. Say, and you teach this? And you don't understand? Then, Jesus takes it a step forward, verse 11. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Now, he's talking about the we here is Jesus and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He says, frankly, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God and me are speaking of what we know. And we are speaking of what we have seen. And I know you can't see a thing. You can't see it spiritually. And so you don't understand it. And even though you're a teacher. Maybe you've had this experience in your life. Someone has a great name for how good they do something. And then all of a sudden you decide, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to listen. And then you show up and you're highly disappointed. Because they don't even understand very well what they're saying. He's telling Nicodemus, the Spirit and I are telling you what we know. And we are telling you what we have seen. And that's what our testimony is about what we've seen. And you don't accept our testimony. Why is it that you don't accept it? We're telling you what we see. We're telling you where it comes from. Remember, Nicodemus had said, we recognize that you have come from God because you couldn't do these things unless you came from God. But I'm struggling to understand what you're telling me here. Here's Nicodemus. Then, verse 12, Jesus continues, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? If you can't believe me in the earthly things, how in the world are you going to believe me in the heavenly things? In other words, if you won't believe me in the things that you can see with your own eyes, how in the world are you going to doubt me on the things that you haven't even seen? Verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descends from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus' way of saying, I'm telling you what I've seen. You want to know about heavenly things? Maybe you should ask somebody who's seen them. Instead of just asking man about it. We're telling you what we've seen. But if you don't believe us, who are you going to ask? Are you going to ask those who can't see spiritual things to tell you about the spiritual things? Then he says this. Look at verse 14. He goes back to a story from the Old Testament, from the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21, if you want to go back and read it. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here's the story from Numbers chapter 21. There's a king of the people of Canaan who's come up to war against the people of Israel. They're scared. They say to God, if you'll deliver us from this king, we will utterly destroy their cities. And God says, granted. And they go through and they defeat the king. They get a little bit further along, and now they start to get impatient that they're having the journey so far. Then they start to complain. And they say, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Then they say, we don't have any food or anything to drink out here. And then they have the audacity to say, and we hate this loathsome food that you give to us. Well, then apparently they do have some food. They start complaining. They grow impatient. And God sends fiery serpents upon Israel. He sends fiery serpents on them, and many of Israel die. It doesn't give you the number. It says many of Israel die. And they realize they've sinned. It's only whenever the condemnation comes with the serpent that they realize their sin. And they go to Moses and they say, will you intercede for us so that we don't all die? Moses goes before God and God tells Moses, lift up a fiery serpent and put it on a standard, on a stick or a staff. Anyone who's been bitten by the fiery serpents, if they'll come and they'll look at the staff and the serpent that's on it, they'll live. Moses cast a bronze serpent and he put it up on a staff. And anyone who was bit by a serpent, if he came and he looked at it, he was made well. If he didn't, he or she died. Here's Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus saying, I'm going to be lifted up on a stick too. I'm going to be crucified. And if you don't look to me, you'll die just like those people in Israel. Then, look at verse 15. Here's the application. So that whoever believes will in Him have eternal life. If we don't come to Jesus, in the same way that those Israelites, if they didn't come and look at that bronze serpent that Moses made, set up on the standard of that staff, they would die. Here's Jesus being frank with Nicodemus. If you don't come to the Son of Man, you are going to die. But if you come to Him, you will live. No wonder Jesus is saying, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom. Unless you're going to be born of the water and the Spirit, you will not be in the kingdom. He says, Nicodemus, this is a life or death choice. And are you going to trust me or not? Are you going to trust God's Spirit or not? And then comes verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. If you fill it in, Nicodemus, God loved you so much that He's willing to crucify me that you can have eternal life. I want us to realize, all of us could put our name right there. God loved you so much that He was willing to sacrifice His Son and crucify Him that you could have eternal life. But unless we come to be born of the water and the Spirit, we'll never see it. I don't mean we can't learn of it. But to truly see it and understand the spiritual things, who else can we turn to learn them? Who else has descended from heaven and gone back? Who else is there to trust except those who came by the hand of God? So often you see John 3:16 put up by itself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And they never realize it's a conversation between two people. And there's a background that goes with it of being born of the water and the Spirit. Someone may say, I don't really think you have to be born again. Well, then who are you calling a liar? Jesus Himself. Because Jesus says, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom. Can we trust Jesus? If you ever get an opportunity to sit down and study with somebody, ask them that question. Can you trust Jesus? Would He lead us astray? Or is it really that simple? Will we trust Him? Because the parallel is, if we don't come to Jesus, there is no way to find life. If we don't come to be obedient to what He says and commands, there's no way to see the kingdom. Then He takes it a step forward here with Nicodemus. Verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. God's point in having Jesus come to this earth wasn't to condemn everything. His point was, I want to offer you life. Now there is a condemnation that comes with Jesus living a perfect life. He proved that it could be done. And so as a result, if you want to read more about it in Romans chapter 8, it condemned us all. But that wasn't His purpose and point. He came to save. Verse 18, He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Since Jesus is the only way to life, if you reject Him, there's no other way. But if you come to faith in Jesus, to be obedient to Him, you find life and you don't have to worry about judgment because you'll continue in that faith to walk with Him. And never turn away. That's why it says back in verse 16 that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because the faith is going to keep on going past being born again and continue in His ways. And here's what it looks like. And here's the split of it, verse 19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. How come they can't see the kingdom? Because they love the darkness. They love the darkness rather than the light. This word for love is the word agape. They agape, they sacrificially love darkness more than the light. They would sacrifice whatever it takes to stay in the darkness. They'll sacrifice their families. They'll sacrifice their jobs. They'll sacrifice their livelihood and their life for the sake of darkness. And that's where they'll stay. Because they can't see it. If you notice it here, the light has come into the world. Here's Jesus as the light. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. When deeds are evil and wicked, you don't want to come to Jesus because He's about to expose things for what they really are. Notice the next verse, verse 20. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. I want you to see Nicodemus here. He came to Jesus because he cares about what's right. Even though he can't see it at the moment, He comes not out of fear of being exposed. He comes because he wants to be taught by God. He wants to be taught by Jesus. And if you notice, he's not rejecting the things of Jesus. He's just saying, I don't understand. I don't get it. Notice here as he continues into verse 21. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. For those who practice the truth, we come to Jesus so that he can expose what we do. Whenever we gather together to teach, or whenever you sit at home to read your scripture and to read the Bible, and you look for it to be exposed, what I'm doing, is it right? Is it wrought? Is it born in God? Or have I wandered into darkness? For those who live a life in darkness, they don't want to be exposed. If you ever had a time where all of a sudden someone's evil is exposed, they don't care for it too much. And they say, who do you think you are to tell me anything? They're showing their love for the darkness. It's not a time for opportunity. But you notice with us, what about us? Are we a people who come and are willing for our lives to be exposed by the light of Jesus? Or are we those who want to hide back into the darkness and act like we have life, but we can't even see that we're in darkness? Jesus takes Nicodemus here because Nicodemus needs to understand, just like we need to understand, that life only comes through Jesus. Whenever you see teachings that come around and they say, baptism doesn't really matter, what do you already know? They can't see the kingdom. And they're calling Jesus a liar and they don't even know it. Could you be any more wrong? To understand that in the same way that as Moses lifted up that staff by the commandment of God with the bronze serpent on it, and anyone who came to see it lived. To think, here's witnesses. How did you overcome? I looked at the bronze serpent. In the same way we stand, as those who have come to life by the ways and the will of Jesus, to be born again of the water and the Spirit. And now we are blessed simply to be able to see, as opposed to living a life blinded by the darkness. To love the darkness rather than the light. When you consider this conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus, no wonder Nicodemus is one of the two who come to bury Jesus. Comes to bury Him in hope. To bury Him in seeing, He's the one who showed me what it's like. You don't read anything further about the life of Nicodemus. But you understand, he's one who came and saw the death of Jesus. To take Jesus down and to bury Him, being dead. So often when you think about the resurrection of Jesus, the skeptics say, I'm not sure He was really dead. Nicodemus knew He was dead. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, Nicodemus knew the miraculous had happened. He had been dead for 3 days. Nicodemus had wrapped the body of Jesus in linen cloth. He had put the myrrh and the aloes mixed within. And he was there to help seal the tomb. Nicodemus got to see something that not many people did. To see Jesus dead. And then to be able to see Him alive. What a blessing. We have no record of Nicodemus seeing Him alive, but a blessing to know it and to be able to see it right there in their own midst. Do you think he doubted the words of Jesus? Do you think he would trust anybody other than Jesus and those who spoke at Jesus' words? What about us? Are we those who look at the words of Jesus and say, who else could we trust? Who else has descended from heaven and gone back? And the apostles now, they taught the words of Jesus, not their own. May we be a people who look at these words and realize we have salvation and eternal life because this is exactly what Jesus promised. When we're born again of the water and the Spirit, to have eternal life and to continue in that faith all of our days until our dying breath, knowing that we see the kingdom and now we have to respond to life. And to bring our life before Jesus for those events that we have and the actions that we take and the words that we say, that they would be exposed to the light that Jesus is. To know that we continue in eternal life.